Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. And if you're joining me for the first time, welcome to the show. If you've been here before, I'm really glad you're back. Well, on this show today, the topic is how to fix a relationship after an affair. And I'm going to start with a high-profile case of a relationship gone wrong. After that, I'm going to take questions from listeners. And, of course, if you're listening live, you can call in with your question. Well, this week's big hot Hollywood news item is that the stars of the blockbuster Twilight series, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, may be getting back together. And why not? Well, one affair doesn't have to be the end of a relationship. In fact, it can be a new beginning and even bring a couple closer. But for that to happen, there are a lot of things to watch out for along the way if you want a healthy, lasting relationship post-affair. So I'm going to direct my advice to Robert and Kristen and all of you couples out there who are listening, or anyone who's listening who's in this situation. And so listen up as I give my very best advice for how to recover from an affair. I'll start with Robert. So Robert, or whoever it is that has been wronged, the person who was cheated on. So Robert, number one, understand the reality of this affair. It does make a difference if she did or did not have sex with her director, the other guy. Now, most of the reports out there say that she did not actually have sex with the guy. So if she didn't have sex with him, yes, it is still infidelity, but not nearly as damaging as if she had. You can get over it a lot faster. And in fact, if she didn't have sex with him, I would say you don't have that much to get over. It's time to start moving forward. But if she did have sex with him, that is really difficult to get past. It can be done, but under a certain caveat, and that is you can get past it if the person you loved had sex with someone else, if it is not a behavioral pattern. What do I mean by that? Well, the rule of thumb with affairs is this, or any disturbing behavior in a relationship. The rule of thumb is if it happens once, you can get over it. It won't be easy, but you can get over it if it happens once. If it happens twice or more, it is a pattern. You can't get over it if it's a pattern because it will happen again. And deep down inside, you know that. If somebody's cheated on you twice, you know it is always going to happen sooner or later. If you see that it's a pattern, then you just got to move on. All right, number two for Robert. Make a decision about her character. If you believe that she's fundamentally untrustworthy, you got to move on. That's a character issue. It'll never be any different. You'll always feel like you're settling, and she'll feel like she can never prove herself if that's what you believe about her. And that's a very shaky foundation, just doomed to crumble. She's not going to hold up. But on the other hand, if you believe that she made this one mistake, But overall, you know her to be and believe her to be a person of integrity, someone you can trust, then embrace the person you know her to be. Set aside any mind chatter that you have about whatever she did or didn't do with this guy and return to your previous mindset of who she is. She's a woman you can trust and love, and you got to believe in that. You have to guard your thoughts and feelings about her. You have to block out negative things that other people are saying if what you believe you're really behind. And never let yourself doubt her again. You can't live in doubt. You can't live in mistrust. It's an unhealthy dynamic. So make a decision about her character, and if you decide that she is trustworthy, then return to a state of love. Your love and trust will lift her up. She will shine, and then the two of you will be able to move forward. All right, number three for Robert. Take responsibility for your side of this. You didn't cause her behavior. That's absolutely clear. But affairs are often a symptom of some underlying issue or issues in the relationship that have not been addressed. So look hard in the mirror and ask yourself what, if anything, you may have done or not done that might have contributed to her seeking intimacy with another man. And if you can work on your side of the fence, it will only strengthen your relationship going forward. Okay, so those are the main, that's not all the advice I have for people who have been cheated on. Obviously, there's a lot more. Relationships are complex. It can be, there can be a lot more than that. But that's the, those are the main points for Robert and anyone else who's been cheated on. Now, let me go on to what I have to say for Kristen or anyone else who's done the cheating. Number one, fix the underlying issue. And first of all, I have to say to Kristen, kudos to you for the public apology and for being responsible and accountable. That's huge. It's really unusual for somebody in Hollywood to say that. Now, your job is to assess what drove the behavior in the first place. Some possible causes are maybe an emotional insecurity that kind of makes you want to seek a lot of adoration from a male. Maybe it's a lack of communication in your relationship with Robert. What goes unsaid often leads to acting out. Keep that in mind. It could be serious doubts that you have about that relationship that you didn't want to confront. Whatever it is, once you identify the underlying issue, then your job is to go to work on that. Go to work on it diligently. Don't stop your personal development work if you get back together. Yes, it's going to feel like the crisis that drove you into whatever counseling you may be getting is over, but don't let that fool you. Changing any negative relationship patterns is hard work, and it takes persistence. You have to stick with it. All right, number two for Kristen and for anybody who's done the cheating, don't expect instant trust just because you've made amends. One common mistake of people who cheat is apologizing once or twice and then expecting it to all be okay again with their partners. Well, realize that his emotions may be lagging far behind yours. He may be suffering from flashbacks to seeing those pictures and feeling the betrayal all over again. So you have to make room and space in your heart and emotions to comfort him when he feels that way and to allow space for him to move through that process in his own timing. Now, eventually, new relationship experience between the two of you and renewed intimacy will replace the bad images, but that does take time. Okay, number three for the person who's cheated or for Kristen is don't endlessly grovel. All right, now this is going to sound a little bit like a contradiction to point number two because I just said you've got to allow a lot of space for the other person to work through it. But this is not a contradiction. Eventually, whoever did the cheating has got to stop apologizing. It's demeaning if you endlessly grovel and beg for forgiveness and months go by. You can't do that forever. It wears you down and the relationship isn't healthy. So the person who is cheated on does have a responsibility eventually to decide. They have to decide if they're going to forgive you and move on. And at some point, if you're months down the road and that is not happening, then you have to bring it to his attention. You know, firmly but lovingly, you have to basically say, look, I've done everything I can possibly do, and you still haven't forgiven me. We're still not moving forward. What's it going to take? The bottom line in recovery from an affair is this. Long-term, loving relationships take commitment and work. With one affair, a couple can forge a new connection that's far more honest. It can actually bring the truth out between them. And then in the long run, they can actually be healthier once they've healed from the wounding. Most couples need a lot of help with that. So if this happens in your relationship, get professional help. Seek out and gain support from people who will empower your journey to reunite, not the naysayers, but you have to do it with love and renewed commitment. And if you follow these steps and get some professional help, I think you have a great shot at putting your relationship back together. Okay, before we go on with the show, I want to pause for a moment and ask you a few questions. Have you ever tried online dating? Did you get poor results or no results? Did you find it to be just too much trouble weeding through all the questionable people? Were you worried about your safety and security? Did you meet some interesting people, but it didn't pan out, so you just decided not to bother with it anymore? Or have you never tried online dating because you've heard so many negative stories about it? Well, if any of that sounds like you, then you're going to love my new ebook, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. Now, I wrote this short ebook so I could quickly convey to you all of the strategies that I've taught my clients over the years about internet dating. Now, in the book, you're going to find the right mindset with which to begin, that's important, and how to choose the best sites to use, the right steps to setting up your accounts, and how to contact other people to get the best results. Also, how to respond when other people contact you. You're going to get a step-by-step process for the first handful of dates so that you're safe and secure and so you can weed out inappropriate people quickly. You'll get all that advice and much, much more, all for the cost of 99 cents. I wrote this ebook and I'm offering it to you for only 99 cents because I want everyone to have access to it. Anybody can pay 99 cents. So cost is never going to be the objection here. It might be time or skepticism. But I would urge you to go ahead and download it today. I think you're going to find that there's some surprising coaching that will help you have a breakthrough about online dating. Online dating can be a powerful tool if you know how to use it correctly. So go to Amazon.com today and download it. But more importantly, read it and follow the coaching, and I think you will see your dating life turn completely around. Okay, we're still listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. Today I'm talking about how to fix a relationship post-affair, but I'm also going to address breakups in general. And I've got a question coming in from a listener. This is from Mitchell. Dear Nina, I just read Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. Awesome. Packed with common sense dating advice. Now, I know you're going to think I just made up that part, but I swear Mitchell really wrote this into me. All right, let me go on with his email. He says, I'm trying to get back to dating, but I'm having trouble getting over my last relationship. We met on a dating site and instantly clicked, which is rare. We had an 8-month relationship, which was fantastic. I got an STD test and found out I have HSV-1, asymptomatic. I have never in my life had a cold sore. So I was shocked by the results. Needless to say, my girlfriend told me that the HSV-1 was a deal breaker. I offered to take suppression medication, Valtrex, so it would minimize her risk. She wouldn't do it and broke it off. This one is taking me longer than usual to get over due to the fact that there was nothing really wrong with the relationship. Any suggestions on how to overcome this or just let time do its thing? All right, well, Mitchell, there were several things you said in your email that I don't quite buy into. The part about how the relationship was fantastic except for that. Needless to say, she told you it was a deal breaker. I wouldn't say that's needless to say. I would say that is really odd. I have known tons of people over the years with the herpes virus, and I've had many clients over the years tell me that they have it, and that it's something they have to work through when they're dating people. When is the right timing to tell them? And I'm not talking about HSV-1 too. I'm talking about genital herpes. But all the people that I've ever known who have it manage to go ahead and date, have great relationships or loving relationships. It's just not a deal breaker for most people. So I'm really sorry that your girlfriend broke up with you like that, but here's the truth. She was going to break up anyway. She was not committed to this relationship. For whatever reason, it wasn't working for her. And this information gave her the out that she needed so she wouldn't have to tell you the real reason that she was breaking up. People who love one another and picture a life together do not break up over something like that. That's so manageable. The only thing I recommend for you is I think you need to dig a little deeper and look at what was really wrong between the two of you, because there was something else, I promise you. Most likely it was a very basic thing. She just wasn't that into you. Maybe she liked you a lot. Maybe she even felt affection for you, thought you were a neat guy, but she wasn't really in love with you. That happens. You can't make someone fall in love with you. You can be the most wonderful, beautiful, sexy, unimaginable person on the planet, and you'll meet some people who will not fall in love with you. It's no reflection on your value and worth if someone doesn't happen to fall in love with you. And here's another thing to think about for you, Mitchell, and anyone else listening to this who's had a puzzling breakup, someone broke up with you and you didn't quite understand it. People often lie about the real reasons for breaking up. And I think that happens because of the false perception that if you tell someone the truth, tell them, I just don't love you, I'm just not that into you, that somehow that is more painful than if you just tell a little white lie like, oh, I just can't handle the fact that you have herpes. Well, the bottom line is this. People stay when they love you and are committed to the relationship. They leave when they don't love you, when they're no longer committed to the relationship or have never formed a commitment. And sometimes they leave when they feel terribly hurt by something that you have done. In your case, Mitchell, I just can't detect anything that you've done wrong. Maybe there was something and you're just not seeing it. It's in your blind spot. But that's why I think it's important for you to self-reflect and realize that this is not about the fact that you have herpes. This is about someone who didn't love you or someone who was offended by something. But most likely it's just that she was just not that into you, which happens. But it's important that you don't let this experience put you off of dating or make you fearful about telling someone new about the herpes. This is something that often happens when people are not entirely honest about the real reasons for breaking up. The excuse that they will give you, you'll be tempted to say, okay, well, since that's why they broke up with me, I just won't tell anyone else. Whatever that little factoid is about your life. I had another client recently who went through a breakup, and her boyfriend broke up by telling her that he didn't like her background. He didn't like the story about her family. There was nothing that she had ever done wrong, but her parents divorced. It was an ugly story. And he told her that that was the reason he was breaking up with her, is because she came from a family with that kind of a story. Well, I think that's BS. I don't think that's why he broke up with her at all. But her reaction was, I've got to be even more careful about telling people my background. And my coaching is, it should be the opposite. Because here's what makes relationships work, is that you are who you are. You present your real life story. You present who you are. You present the factoids about your life. And you rely on this fundamental truth. When you meet the right person, those things don't matter. They don't. when you meet someone who gets you, who appreciates you, who loves you for exactly who you are and exactly who you are not, those things fade into the background. And that's what you have to rely on when you're out there and you're single and you're dating, is to present yourself and recognize that if someone is put off by who you are, they're just not right for you. Move on. But don't stay out of the game over this stuff. Get back in sooner rather than later. Fear can become your nemesis, and it's all for nothing. Being fearful gets you nowhere. Relationships are risky because you don't know if someone is going to love you back, but they're so worth it. All that fear for really not much. So my advice to you, Mitchell, and anyone else going through a breakup where somebody really didn't perhaps tell you the full truth about why or whatever happened, is go through what you need to recover, but get back out there. There's somebody wonderful out there who's going to make you forget all about this stuff. Okay, we're going to be back with more love strategies after this message. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies, and I'm Nina Atwood, your host. Today I'm talking about how to repair a relationship after an affair, as well as breakups in general. And speaking of breakups, I have a message I want to share today with any of you who are listening who are currently going through a breakup or a divorce, whether or not it involved an affair. A little bit about my story. There was a time many, many years ago I was married to someone, not my current wonderful husband, but someone else. And when my ex-husband decided to leave that marriage, I initially thought it was just going to be the end of any hope for love in my life. I was in shock. I was in grief. And it took me months to go through that whole process of shock, denial, anger, lots of grief, and then eventually I got to a place of acceptance. Now, even though I'm a professional, when you're in the barrel, it's really tough. And I knew that this was something that people go through, but to go through it myself was, of course, very different than helping someone else to go through it. That divorce really shook my mind, heart, and body to the foundation because I think I was in a lot of denial about the state of our marriage, so I didn't see it coming. But one day, I woke up, and I was feeling just a little bit better. And that day, I had several very powerful insights. I saw that while I would never have control over the behavior and choices of any man in my life, that I had complete control over how I responded in a relationship. And I saw that bitterness and loss of hope and a closed, shut-down heart were in my domain of control, that nobody could cause that. Only I could cause that, being bitter, losing hope, shutting down heart. I realize that the ability to love and be loved, to trust and have an open heart are precious assets of mine. And with blinding clarity, I saw that to surrender those assets because of any other person's behavior would be an enormous loss, not to that person, but to me and to the quality of my life. And in that moment, I made a solid commitment to myself that I would never surrender my faith in love or my ability to love and be loved because of a breakup, divorce, or any other negative life event. Now, that moment of blinding clarity and insight, blinding, it was actually eye-opening clarity and insight, did not mark the end of my recovery. It was just really the beginning of the real recovery. And I still struggled. I went through ups and downs. There were times when I did feel angry and bitter. I had still had waves of grief and loss, feelings of hopelessness, but I never lost sight because while I was feeling so clear, I wrote down those thoughts, including, and I added a recovery list, things to look for in the future that would tell me that I was really over that divorce. I actually listed those things. And then whenever I needed that message again, I pulled out that piece of paper and remembered my commitment, and that helped me continue to move forward. Eventually, I checked off everything on my list and accomplished all of it. I moved forward. I dated. I had another long-term relationship that didn't work out, and then I met my wonderful husband now, who I've been with for 13 years, and he is just absolutely the love of my life, a sweetheart, just the most loving, giving man. I've been so blessed. So I'm here to tell you that there are good things down the road for you. But right now, you may be going through the difficulty of a breakup, and I tell you, breaking up is hard to do, but recovery can sometimes be even harder, or so it seems. You can be so heartbroken, licking your wounds. You may be expressing your pain in a lot of different ways. You may be withdrawing from friends and normal activities, maybe eating empty carbohydrates and sweets. You know, Ben and Jerry's may be looking real good to you right now. You might be drinking to excess. You might not be eating. Maybe your appetite has gone away. Maybe you're working too much. Just drown yourself in work. You might be obsessively going through thought loops about your lost partner. But how long should you be in this wound-licking, often dysfunctional behavior? Well, the answer depends on how long you give yourself permission to wallow in any self-punishing behavior. If you're drinking too much, eating unhealthy food, withdrawing from friends and healthy activities, those are expressions of anger to yourself. Internalizing that pain, you're hurting the person who most needs comfort, which is you. Too much of that kind of behavior really allows you to avoid the real issue, and that is that it hurts. I mean, the truth is that when you're going through a breakup, at some point you just got to holler out, ouch. You know, just need to scream it out to the universe. That hurts. And if you can acknowledge the hurt and say that really hurts, then you can start to heal. If you can acknowledge it to another person, it's even better. So if you're looking for recovery from a breakup or a divorce, reach out to someone who can help you, a therapist, a counselor, a priest, a rabbi, somebody, and continue to work through that process knowing that things are going to get better. But the other thing I want to leave you with is to be prepared the next time around. Before you start dating, get back out there. What I'd really like you to do is take the time to learn some things so that you can do it more intelligently. Go to Amazon.com and look for my books. You can get tons of free podcasts on my website, singlescoach.com. And I want to thank you for joining me today and just quickly say a very special acknowledgement to my wonderful husband, Mark, who is so devoted to me after 13 years. Thank you, dear.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.